What's up, nerds? It's Dan, the Lonely Havoc, here with Havoccast number 2. On my podcast, I like to talk about tabletop games, role-playing games, war games, the occasional board game as well. And my favorite thing about games is the people that play them, including you. And today I'm going to discuss how to get rid of negative thoughts in regards to your own work. I'm going to have a discussion with Stormgrad Games, and then I'm going to say the names of my Ghost Wolves kill team in the sexiest voice possible and give you a quick update on how the campaign is going. Spoiler alert, it's not going well. So please sit back, enjoy yourself, relax for the Havoccast. Here at the Lonely Havocs, I do many things on an amateur level. Amateur painter, amateur podcaster, amateur YouTube video maker, and amateur adult film star. But my favorite thing to do on an amateur level is psychology and dispensing therapeutic advice. Now, you may be saying to yourself, there's no way this guy is qualified to give me therapeutic advice. And I would agree with that. But what I will tell you is I've spent a lot of time in my formative years and my adult life going to counseling, speaking to therapists, first to deal with my depression and anxiety, and in my later years to deal with my alcoholism, which was my main hobby before I got back into tabletop war games. There's a thing where people feel like their work is not good enough, what they're producing isn't good enough, it's not as good as somebody else's. Some would call this imposter syndrome. Some call this my work's not as good as somebody else's, so I quit syndrome, which is a much longer name, and I just made up. So let's talk about why we have these thoughts and what we can do to manage them a little bit. And these are things that work for me, and they've taken many years to where I've gotten to the point where I truly believe that I'm awesome and everything I do is great. Is it true? To me, it is. You could feel the same. Your results may vary. It takes work. Step one, we need to understand why we have these thoughts. You may be looking at a painted model or some of your content that you're producing and comparing it to somebody else's, or just thinking to yourself, this isn't good enough. This isn't what I wanted to do. This needs to be better. Step one, who is holding you to that standard? You need to realize that the only person that's holding you to that standard is yourself. Sure, there may be family or friends around that have expectations, but the standards you set are set by you alone. Oftentimes, they're unrealistic. Stop and think about those standards you set for yourself. Are they realistic? Are you expecting to be the most amazing painter with little to no practice, hoping to just be good at it right out of the gate? Well, I'll tell you, no one is really good at it right out of the gate, except for a few folks. These are few and far between. Step one, realizing that your standards you set for yourself are probably unrealistic. This takes some quiet introspection, some time to really stop and think, is this something that may be too difficult to do in the time frame I'm giving myself? Is this something that is maybe beyond my capability right now? Think about it. Step two, I like to compartmentalize my negative thoughts. This is something that I learned from a therapist a number of years ago, and it is silly and it's ridiculous, but it works for me and maybe it can work for you. They say visualization is a very powerful tool, and I agree. For some, this works. For some, it does not, because visualization doesn't come the same to all of us. We all learn different ways. We all think different ways. We see the world differently, and that's fine. That's great. That's why we have such breadth of experience among us, and different experiences are good. Visualize. I literally visualize my negative thoughts, and then I visualize putting that negative thought in a box and putting it away. When my therapist first told me this, I thought it was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard. She says, you need to compartmentalize your thoughts, put them away, address them another time whenever you have the energy. Or, You can get rid of those thoughts completely by imagining that box being thrown away or destroyed. So we have a negative thought. Wow, I'll never be as good as this person, that person. Visualize that thought. What does it look like? Mine are just these amorphous black blobs. I pop them in a box. Usually it's a brown box. And do I put them on the shelf? No, I just get rid of these thoughts completely. I imagine them being destroyed, being thrown away. Sometimes I even imagine them being destroyed by a double-bladed red lightsaber. It's ridiculous, I know, but the visualization is key for this. You actually think about that thought being tossed away, tossed aside, destroyed, whatever you want. Or maybe you just put it up on a shelf for now. Put that thought away. Don't tell yourself, no, just don't think those things. That's ridiculous. Think it, and then put it away. I know it sounds ridiculous. It's crazy. It is. I agree with you. But it works. It's worked for me. Give it a try. You have a bad thought? Put that thought away. Pop it in a little brown box. Whatever you do, I think you're amazing. I think you're doing well. You're doing better than you think you are. Someone is watching you and enjoying what you do. So remember that. Today's podcast, 20 Odd Questions with my good buddy, Stormgrad Games. So I'm here with my friend, Stormgrad. What's up?
Hey mate, how are you? I'm really good. I'm just kind of getting on with some hobby projects of my own.
Awesome. That's the way to go. So I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions, and they're challenging, and I hope you do well, or else I'll just cut off the call completely.
I mean, okay. this has been a great call. Thanks, everyone.
So that was Stormgrad. Thanks, everyone. All right, moving on. Let's go to the first one. Let's go to the first question. First question. This is the important one. What game got you started in the hobby?
So it was Warhammer Fantasy Battles. I was 11. I just started secondary school or senior school, however you want to word it. And a bunch of friends of mine who were in the year above me were into the hobby. I'd seen them play a few games, and then I immediately went to the local hobby shop, which was Games Workshop in Maidstone, and I immediately bought Nagash, Supreme Lord of the Undead, because as an 11-year-old, I had no idea that I'd actually need, you know, frontline units, and just went for the biggest, shiniest character I could.
You still have him?
I do not still have that. I've seen one up on eBay for a not inconsiderate amount of money, and I am really tempted to buy it and have a bash at it now, because obviously 11-year-old me had no idea about like priming and base coating and what's this highlighting nonsense.
That's so, an expensive model. How did you afford that?
I believe it must have been a Christmas money type deal, because we started school in September, so by the time I'd got to the point where it was like wanting to make the investment, it must have been around Christmas time.
Nice. Next question. If you could turn any activity into an Olympic sport, what would win you the gold medal?
Napping. That's easy. Napping.
The synchronized nap. I like it. Yeah. What game or movie universe would you most like to live in?
Oh, most like to live in?
Yes.
I mean, you want to go for something like really nice.
Something utopian, maybe. Not grimdark?
Yeah, no, definitely not grimdark. Like, that would just be bad. So, one of my favorite universes is the Shadowrun universe, but that's all messed up.
But it's still pretty cool, right?
It is pretty cool. But what I would most like to live in, probably maybe like the Star Trek universe. Like, it's a utopian future, right, at least. Right. Yeah, everybody, you have replicators, you have holodecks. Like, yeah, as a thing. Yeah. I mean, yeah. We all remember that one Will Riker episode, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, all the Riker episodes. There was always a holodeck problem, and they still kept fucking using the holodeck. Like, the holodeck was always going crazy and taking control of the ship or something wacky, but they still kept going in there, which always drove me nuts. But I get it.
Data in a funny costume.
That's true. That's true. It's full of Data's good episode. I follow you. What skill would you like to master?
So this is pretty simple. What skill would I like to master? I'd love to be able to play a musical instrument. It's something that I am pretty much unable to do for various reasons. Mostly a general lack of rhythm.
You don't have hands?
I mean, I do, but they don't work properly most of the time, so...
What instrument? What would you focus on?
Again, young me thought it might be cool to have drum lessons. I went for two terms of drum lessons until the tutor told my mom that she was wasting her money. And yep.
Well, at least he saved you some money.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, just to be able to say, see, I showed you.
Jesus. What's your favorite paint color?
My favorite paint color has got to be clearly Havoc pink.
Good answer.
Yeah.
I like the trend that's starting here.
Aside from that, I really like Moot Green. It's a really bright, vibrant green. But currently, I am itching for an opportunity to use the rich blue from Instar, the kind of really nice metallic blue they've got.
Oh yeah. Instar, good stuff. Baby. Okay, what's the last game you played? And did you win?
Last game I played was Kill Team. I did not win. I charged a Tau gun line with my friend who was playing Tau had nine experienced guys on the table. I had four experienced guys on the table. I charged a Tau gun line, and it ended with expected results.
You know, I've never seen anyone actually use Tau in Kill Team just yet, so interesting.
The For the Greater Good, where they can all overwatch, is really nasty.
Oh, wow. Even in Kill Team, they can do that.
Yeah.
How close do they have to be next to each other to do that?
It's just any other model that can see the target of the intended watch.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so I charged the Tau gun line. I failed two of my charge rolls. Yeah. The one guy that did make it in was fine, and then the third guy was obliterated. So, like, I had four guys, two failed charge rolls, one got in, and the other guy was obliterated on the charge. So,
yeah, so you lost that game.
I did lose that game, yeah. However, the game before that, I managed to win against another friend's Death Guard by pulling off a 12-inch charge and killing his model in one round of combat so that I could consolidate off the board. So that was a pretty epic
game. Awesome. Damn, son. Sometimes you just need that 12 inches, man. So what would your first question be after you woke up from being chirogenically frozen for 100 years?
Why is it so cold in here?
What is the best book or series that you've ever read?
I am a big fan of the works of Raymond E. Feist, his Rift War Saga, and then following on to he's done a collection of novels, all 4 to 3 books long, and they all stack into each other, and it kind of covers this world of Midkemia over an extended period of time. I love it. I just think it's great. He raises some really interesting questions in those books, but it's also a really good fantasy romp.
That's cool. What could you give a 40-minute presentation on with absolutely no preparation?
Oh, geez. Probably tabletop role-playing games.
Nice. Actually, you know what? I got a question about that. So do you play RPGs? And if so, tell me about your character.
Okay, so yeah, I have played and do play a lot of RPGs. Currently, I am in a Mutants and Masterminds RPG. So that is a superhero system where you can pretty much build any power you think of.
What's the RPG?
Mutants and Masterminds.
Mutants and Masterminds. I have not heard of that.
It's a D20 system, not too dissimilar from D&D in like the core mechanics. Uh-huh. But The fun bit about that is building the powers. Currently, I am playing a amorphous blob of sentient nanites that can assume various forms, including the shape of people, that can
That's
control
cool.
technology.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, that's cool.
We had a game on Friday just gone, and I sorry, Monday just gone. Friday is a different thing we're doing. And in the Monday game, I stuck my foot under the door, turned it to liquid, and because I'm made up of nanites, each of the nanites literally gives me like vision of where it is.
Oh, that's
So
awesome.
I have like 360 degree vision. So I stuck my liquid toe under the door, extended it under, lifted it up to look around, saw a bunch of guys, saw grenades on the table, and then I used my weird tech powers to explode the grenades
Oh, that's awesome.
with the guys, with three like bad guys in a room. So I just like blew. It was hilarious. It was good fun. But yeah, he's an interesting character. He's called Ant, or Advanced Nanite Technology, but people just call him
So
Ant.
cool. That's awesome. Holy shit, I gotta get that game. That sounds fucking killer.
It's really good, but it wouldn't be nearly half as good if it wasn't for the people I'm playing with. They're
Oh,
a really,
absolutely.
really good group of people, and that's what makes a RPG is
Oh,
the people you
yeah.
play with.
That's any game. Yeah, that's any RPG. Well, that's any game, really. I mean, if you play against someone that sucks or you play with people with no imagination, then it kind of is not so great. Do
Yeah.
you have lucky dice, a model, or some sort of game superstition?
I don't really have any game superstition. I do tend to if I immediately roll like a bad number and re-roll it, I'll use the same dice just because what's the odds of
Law
it
of
rolling a
average,
one
right?
again? Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly, right? Well, what's the chance of getting
Statistics.
another one on that, right? But I don't, that's not really a superstition, that's just playing the odds, right?
That's the See, you know what? I took a statistics class, and then after that, I started like calculating all these statistics, and my buddy would get super agitated at me because I'm like, I don't roll the same dice. If they roll high, I like put them aside, and then I grab another. So if I like in 40K, I'll roll to hit. If they're good, I'll throw those dice to the side, and I'll grab another set of dice and I'll roll to wound, because statistically speaking, the dice I just rolled aren't going to roll high again. It doesn't really, does it slow things down? I don't know. It might. I'm not really sure, but that's how I do it. So I'm constantly like shuffling through dice, and it just drives people crazy. One of my friends in particular. So that's a thing. So
I mean,
describe.
do
Well,
you have
go.
separate dice to hit and to wound? Do you have like two separate piles or colors or?
Don't. I have one set of dice that I use all the time. I have these pink dice that I bought. And they're
Of
nice and heavy.
course,
They're
they're pink.
larger. They are big. Yeah. So they're the only dice I use. Like the only dice you'll ever see me roll in 40K are these pink dice that I have, and they roll really well for me. I have a thing where I roll five ups really well, and I don't know. People will grab the dice and go, oh, these are weighted or they're cheaty dice or whatever, and they'll roll them and they'll roll like ones and twos, but I'll roll it. Boom! It's a five. I don't know what it is. We're connected. We are one. So there you go. Describe your favorite opponent.
My favorite opponent is anyone who is easygoing, relaxed, just there to have some fun. Wants to have a fun game, and by that, like, I mean a game has rules, a beginning and an end.
Sure.
And so yeah, so anyone who's just there to have a laugh, and enjoy themselves, and yeah.
Nice. So, what challenging thing are you working through these days?
What challenging, I mean, my existential dread.
Same. Who's your hobby hero?
My hobby hero. This is interesting actually, because I took a really long break from the hobby and just came back and started diving in.
Oh,
So
really?
I have to say, a lot of my hobby heroes are the people that I've been interacting with on Twitter and in the Twitch community, and just who have been encouraging me, yourself included. But I've received a lot of good help and encouragement from people far more talented than I am that has sparked me on to keep me going and pushing through. I mean, we are all our own worst critics, and so when we paint
Oh,
something, it's half
absolutely.
done and it looks like trash, and you want to throw it across the room.
Right.
We've all been there. It's been encouragement and kind words from people like yourself, from Nikki and Scott Sullivan, some of the GW staffers I've interacted with via Twitter. Like, I have to say that the community as a whole is fantastic. My hobby hero is the community, because it's a really good, safe, fun place to be.
I like that answer. So what makes you laugh the most?
I mean, inappropriate jokes.
That's the answer. So we go to karaoke. What song do you sing?
Oh, this is a good one. House of the Rising Sun.
Oh, shit.
I distinctly, I remember being about 8 or so and got a cheap karaoke, you know, the kind of you give kids.
Yeah. It's like just a tape deck with a mic in it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why, but House of the Rising Sun was on there, and I just kept singing it over and over and over again. Nice. And
good track.
I mean, we've already covered how I lack rhythm. I'm also slightly tone deaf, so it was a good time for all in the house.
They're like, we took away the drums. Let's get them a karaoke machine.
Yeah.
Dice, numbers or pips?
Pips. However, the guy I was talking about earlier, who I played against, has the Death Guard, had these really cool dice that have like silicone pips, and they're like pustules, which is just really sick and gross. And
dice?
Yeah, they look really good.
Those dice roll so badly. They're horrible.
But they look awesome.
I use them for wound counters. I bought them, and I didn't realize that the inside was like squishy.
Yeah,
I was like,
what
the fuck is this shit? And then I go to roll it, and it just like plop. It just hits the table, and it doesn't roll. It plop smacks down, and they're fucking awful. And
he's
still.
Say,
oh, that's why he lost.
Well, no, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking like he didn't make as many of the disgustingly resilient as I was worried he would. So
it's those dice. Tell him to keep using those dice when he plays against you. Then
yeah.
What is your hobby / life philosophy?
Just don't beat yourself up too much, right? Like, we are all as people improving, whether it be in our skill in the hobby, playing, painting, assembling, whatever, or just as people. Just don't give yourself a hard time and just strive to do better, and eventually you'll get there.
Absolutely. Star Wars or Star Trek?
So, this is a really difficult choice. I'm going to say Star Trek because I grew up with Patrick Stewart and TNG being a staple in my household as a child.
However,
these last couple of years, I played Star Wars The Old Republic when it came out, the old MMO, and I'm in a really solid, good guild there with lots of really classy people. And for the past couple of years ago, now with the new movies and stuff, we've had people fly in from Croatia and Sweden and stuff, and we get together in London and we go see the movies together. And
like,
really solid, great guy, group of people. Really, again, another fantastic community. So, I mean, I grew up on Star Trek, but just for the community alone, the Star Wars people I know are lovely.
Awesome. So totally off script then. What's your favorite Star Trek TNG episode?
TNG episode? All Good Things is really good, just because it's a fantastic cap.
It closes it up really well.
And I really kind of regret the movies existing, because All Good Things is just like really good end.
Yeah, they should have just stopped there. Yeah.
That
is a great, Picard playing cards with everybody at the end. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tapestry is really good as well, but I like the Q meddling with Picard. It's great.
Right. Yeah. And it's amazing because they, you know, Farpoint at the beginning, and then that at the end just kind of like pops it all together, bookends, and it's just really that's so good. I love TNG. That could be like a whole other podcast of me just talking about TNG. Last question.
Go on.
Last question. You have anything to promote?
A couple of things, really. I realize this is coming out afterwards, but you guys can go back and watch VODs. Nikki and Scott Sullivan, who I've mentioned previously, doing a charity life, extra life charity live stream on the 3rd of November. I will be running a 2-hour long one shot for them. Hey, if you're interested in tabletop RPGs and some cool people in the miniature painting community, go back, catch their VOD, watch that. Aside from that, love to promote my my partner has a vegan food Instagram over at bethysvegankitchen.com. That takes you to her website.
Say that again, slower.
bethysvegankitchen.com.
Got it.
And so she has an Instagram with like nearly 7,000 followers at the moment. She does great vegan, easy to cook, easy to make vegan recipes.
Are you a vegan?
I will be for November. I am. I told her I will. We're having one nice Chinese meal, and after that, I will not be eating meat for the entirety of November. Mostly because, you know, I should not be eating so much crap.
Right. November for Americans is an awful time to stop eating meat.
Well, I mean, you've got what?
Thanksgiving
and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. No. That's like an American pastime, is trying to see how much you can eat.
But aside from that, I'm just Stormgrad Games on Twitter, and I do hobby stuff. Mostly tell bad puns. I post pictures of not world eaters, despite clearly being world eaters, just purely by the color scheme alone.
They look awesome, though.
Thank you very much.
And you just finished up a 500-point list, you said.
I did, yeah. So I got back into the hobby like full-time back in September. Mm-hmm. And I have just finished painting 500 points. I finished that off by painting a Redemptor Dread. I have to say, really pleased with how it comes out. It's a lovely kit. I'm looking forward to painting something that isn't white, because...
You're done with white?
I don't find it, I don't think it's hard, because a lot of people say that white's a challenge, and there's a lot of advice out there, and I just followed that advice, and I haven't found it difficult. I'm just sick of white. I just would like to paint something else. Maybe something in Havoc Pink.
Havoc Pink would be the way to go. Awesome. Stormgrad, thank you for being on my podcast. You've been amazing. Thanks. And I'll be bothering you on Twitter as usual.
Yeah, no worries, man. Thank you for putting up with me, and thank you for your support, and for your continued support for the community at large.
That's what I do, man. All right. Thanks, buddy.
All right.
And now, by popular demand, I'm going to read the names of my kill team members in the sexiest voice I can come up with. Yo Dog, Phantom Alpha, Red Cloud, Achak, Payak, Ashki, Otakte, Hanging Maw, Whisper, Seven Crows, Bones, Spirit Snake, Kit Coon. There you go. Let's talk about my Ghost Wolves. They're not doing well in the campaign. Last game was against Dark Eldar. Now they're called Drukhari or Drukhari or whatever. And they're very fast, and they're very good in close combat. And they get stronger every turn thanks to combat drugs. We played a scenario where it was attack and defend. I was defending 3 points on my side of the board against about 5 witches and 5 Dark Eldar warriors, all with splinter rifles, fellow with splinter cannon, witches outfitted with several different weapons, including Hydra gauntlets and agonizers, which are just lovely sounding weapons. And I got my ass kicked hard. He was in combat with me pretty much his first turn. He was making amazing rolls. My buddy Jeff, amazing player, very smart player, knows his rules very well. I wish I could say it was my dice that were against me, which they were, but that's not the reason I lost. The reason I lost is because Jeff's an amazing player. Jeff, you're the man. Was not making very good saves, was not making very good attack and hit rolls. I wasn't wounding anything. But just the fact that I was pretty much swamped by Dark Eldar immediately kind of sealed the win for my opponent, Jeff. Also, Dark Eldar have a rule where you try to fall back from combat, which would have been handy, leaving them open to get shot by Red Cloud, my heavy bolter, and also Hanging Maw, who has a missile launcher, and Otatke, who also has a missile launcher. You can't fall out of combat unless you win a roll-off with Dark Eldar. So I was in combat with 3 Dark Eldar to 1 Primaris on average, and I could just not get away. It was frightening. I was taken out pretty quickly, one by one. I did not score any objectives. My opponent scored at least 1 or 2 objectives toward the end of the game. Pretty much almost wiped me out completely. And I was broken very quick. So hopefully week 2 will work out a lot better for the Ghost Wolves. Looking forward to it. Here's to victory. Maybe. Well, that's it for the podcast today. I hope you enjoyed my talk about compartmentalizing your negative thoughts and getting rid of them, and also a sweet-ass talk with Stormgrad Games and sexy voices, Ghost Wolves, Kill Team campaign update. It's not going well. Good night.